Let's continue reading verses 10 through 18 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, in the last half of the chapter, the Apostle Paul continues to exhort the Thessalonian believers concerning those among them that were leading an undisciplined life or lifestyle. And then we have the closing to the epistle. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning now at verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Once again, some background notes. In verses 16 through 18, the closing of this second epistle to the Thessalonians, notice how the benediction in verse 18 is typically Pauline. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In fact, this particular benediction was a sign that it was from the Apostle Paul, as we see there in verse 17. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. If you check out the closing of all of Paul's other epistles, you will find a similar benediction. You wouldn't be able to close an epistle on any higher note than the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice further from verse 17 that Paul wrote this benediction in his own handwriting. Now, he may have done this in other letters as well. The main part of his letters, of course, was dictated to an amanuensis or secretary. Now, one other point that's worth noting about Paul's closing of this epistle is that verse 16 is really a prayer, as we can see. Verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Did you realize that this is the fourth prayer in this short epistle? Prayer number one was in chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Prayer number 2 was in chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Prayer number 3 was in verse 5 of chapter 3. And now prayer number 4 is in verse 16 here in chapter 3. It would be wrong to finish our series on 2 Thessalonians without noticing Paul's emphasis on prayer. There's always room for prayer. We should emphasize prayer. A lot more we could say on that. Remember, one of the main reasons why Paul wrote 1 and 2 Thessalonians was to clear up some misunderstanding concerning the return of the Lord. We've seen that some of the believers even thought that the end times had arrived and that the day of the Lord had already begun. As a result, some of these believers had actually quit working and were supposedly waiting in readiness for the Lord's return. But as a result of not working, they were freeloading and mooching off other believers. Furthermore, you see, because they had time on their hands, they were meddling in other believers' affairs and becoming busybodies and behaving in other disorderly ways. Look at verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. This had to stop. And in these verses, Paul gives further directions for how to deal with this problem, then and today. That brings us then to our doctrinal points for this second half of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Doctrinal teaching point number one: laziness has no place in a believer's lifestyle. Laziness has no place in a believer's lifestyle. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. This is called tough love. A person who can work but will not work should not be supported in any way, as we've seen already, not even with the basic necessity of food. If he will not work, let him not eat. Work never hurt anyone. God created us to work. Work is good. Even before sin came into this world, God put Adam into the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Genesis 2:15. Now, I know we all have this picture in our minds that true bliss on this earth is lying in a hammock under some palm trees on a South Sea island somewhere, sipping lemonade or something like that, right? By the way, how many hours do you think you could take this before you became bored and unhappy? Well, I know what some of you are saying right now. I'm willing to take the test. Seriously speaking, don't try to avoid work. You will not be happy. Now, we mentioned before that there's all kinds of work. Secular employment, homemaking, volunteer Christian work, or full-time Christian work. Work is not just secular employment. You know, I once had a Christian brother say to me, "Do you work or teach at Emmaus?" I gave him a one-word answer. Yes. Well, it shows that this brother had an unbiblical view of work. Now, the Bible does not teach that a person should be a workaholic. There is the place for periodic rest and relaxation and vacation, etc., etc. But laziness has no place in a believer's lifestyle. Now, what do you do if you have a lazy person in your congregation? Or what do you do if you have a lazy person in your family? We'll answer that under our next doctrinal point. So doctrinal point number two, leeching has no place in a believer's lifestyle. Leeching has no place in a believer's lifestyle. Leeching is the same as freeloading. Proverbs 15 verse 30 says, "A leech has two daughters, give and give." Leeching has no place in a believer's lifestyle. Look at verses 11 and 12 once again. "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." You want to have a biblical lifestyle? Then don't be a leech in any way. Work in quietness and eat your own bread. Now this is not always easy to do, especially when you see other folks, even Christian brothers and sisters, getting free handouts and getting away with it. You see, that's why verse 13 says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." In the context, the doing good here is minding your own business, working in quietness without complaining, and eating your own bread. No leeching. Now, Paul had essentially told the Thessalonian believers the same thing back in his first epistle. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. "Aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your own hands, as we commanded you." So apparently, some freeloading believers at Thessalonica did not heed Paul's first warning. And because they were not working, they were becoming busybodies, gossipers, and disorderly, as well as sponging off others. So what was to be done? Well, they had already been warned. Now Paul commands, notice verse 12, he commands that they go out and work and stop leeching. They were not employed by the church. They were sponging off the church. Furthermore, these lazy leeches, that's really what they were to be separated from socially. We saw this in verse 6, and we see it again here in verse 14. "And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed." Notice that these people were not to be excommunicated or treated as enemies, because they were believers, verse 15. "Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So do you see the biblical pattern for dealing with lazy leeches in the church? Not excommunication, but warning first, then direct command to get to work, and there is to be no support or no social fellowship while they refuse to work. And there is to be continual admonishings or warnings, as we see there in verse 15. Now, these same principles should be applied when you have lazy leeches in the family or other areas. This is tough love. Illustration. You know, one summer we let a Christian couple stay in our house since we were going to be away for the summer doing Christian camp work. The deal was that they would live there for very little rent and take care of the house, cut the lawn. We wanted to help them out because they were preparing to go to the mission field. Well, this couple did not pay the small amount of rent, and they did not take care of the house, and they did not mow the lawn. In fact, they left us stranded halfway through the summer because they said the Lord led them to a better deal. Later, this couple proved to be unfaithful on the mission field. Well, no wonder. The Lord said in Luke 16, verse 10, that he who is unfaithful or unrighteous in a little thing will be unfaithful in much, will be unrighteous in much. There's no way, according to the Bible, that this couple should have been sent to and supported on the foreign mission field. They should have been forced to prove themselves by working and not supported in any way in their freeloading lifestyle. Leeching has no place in the believer's lifestyle. Let's move to practical application. Can you say, I don't have time to gossip? Can you say, I don't have time to gossip? Now, gossip may not seem like a sin to you, but it is a sin. Leviticus 9, verse 16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer or gossiper among thy people. The Thessalonian believers who were not working were not only freeloading, they were disorderly and busybodies, that is, gossiping. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Why? Because they had time on their hands. You see, when you're working hard and staying busy in good activities, you don't have time to gossip. It's very easy to slide or drift into gossip. Just sitting around talking about people can end up, and usually does end up, in gossip. How many would agree on that? You know, I remember being a camp counselor, right? You're lying there at night in bed, you know, everybody's talking, nobody goes to sleep, right? So you've had your devotion, now everybody's supposed to go to sleep, but nobody does. Everybody's talking. Watch the trend of the conversation. If guards are not put on it, you will watch it go downhill. Unless there's some solid Christian input there and definite attempts to keep that conversation in a godly way, it'll naturally go downhill. It does so every time. You watch your own conversation. Before long, if there's not guards put on it, it goes downhill. Just sitting around talking about people can end up in gossip. It generally does end up in gossip. Well, how do you avoid it? Don't have time to gossip, okay? Paul is saying to these people, these Thessalonian believers who were shirkers, work! That's the way you put a limit on leeching and gossip. Don't have time to gossip. This is a good rule of thumb. Can you say, I don't have time to gossip?